Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Clay Harbor, former NFL player.
Clay Harbor, slot to the left. Here's Vic's pass, and it's caught. Touchdown by Harbor.
And that's a touchdown. Clay Harbor makes that catch,
and they've got Harbor for the touchdown. 18-yard touchdown pass by Chad Henning.
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network.
The overthrows. Huge problem. In last year and the first game of this year combined, Caleb leads all quarterbacks on overthrown incompletions by 5 throws. The worst in the NFL, so that's something he has to clean up.
Clay Harbor with Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
You hear dreams and nightmares, that's because he is a former Philadelphia Eagle as well. You know him from the Big Pro Football Show alongside our own David Haw. We love to see it. The 9-year NFL veteran Clay Harbor at Clay Harbs on X. He is in studio at Clay Harbs 82. That's the X designation. And I think that's a good place, actually. The highlight that Robbie Triano just played. Tight end play was a big part of this one, and it's great to have a former tight end in the office today. Hey, Clay.
Hey, and I heard that intro, and my stats were off a little bit. It was actually a little worse than what I thought. Just to make sure that we're being completely factual here, Caleb Williams leads the NFL in 52 incompletions due to overthrows. That's 17 more than the next highest quarterback. He added 5 more on Monday night, so not 5 more than the next quarterback. 17 since the start of last year. So overthrows, just to jump right into it, overthrows is something that Caleb has to get better at, because overthrows, you don't give your receiver a chance to even draw a penalty, catch a football. So that's definitely something he has to improve on.
I want to know specifically the DJ Moore overthrow, where he obviously broke off his route because he was like, I see space, I'm running to the end zone.
Yeah.
Do you put that more on the connection between the two players and something that can improve? Or is this just more of what we saw from last year with their seeming lack of chemistry?
It's something you practice if you're running a route. Say, to me, that looked like a deep out that DJ just saw that there was a blown coverage and he can go for the end zone. Like, you go back to the old Randy Moss days. He wasn't running a million go balls. If he thought he could beat someone deep, Culpepper knew he's going to throw up his arm. We call it the mailbox, and that meant throw the ball to the end zone. And Randy Moss caught the touchdown most of the time. So DJ says, hey, there ain't nobody guarding the end zone. I can win that. Throw up the arm. Caleb felt like he saw it, but he just didn't get it there.
The hesitation, right?
The hesitation. He just wasn't really sure what DJ was going to do. But yeah, that's something you practice, and that's something that has to be completed. I mean, you have situations like that that come up in training camp, that come up in mini camps, that come up in preseason, and you practice them there. Even in the practice, when you're leading up to the season, coaches sometimes will throw in those coverages, so you're seeing that, and you have that happen spontaneously. You don't know it's coming, so you will hit those. So yeah, that's definitely something you got to hit.
Well, and to me, I think Troy Aikman said on that play specifically, he said he thought Caleb was reading the flat. So in reading the flat, he missed DJ Moore being open there. But that is like college ball 101. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a play where some college receiver especially has outrun the entire field and is like, hey, I'm open, and just raises his hand and you throw it to him. So that's something that I feel like would be very familiar to any accomplished college quarterback, which he absolutely is, Caleb Williams. And yeah, that's what we saw. DJ thought he was open. He thought he had something. I think that happens more often than we even realize in the NFL.
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask Clay, is specifically college is one thing. NFL, better players, better coaching, better scheming. In theory, it's like a hanging curveball against a great pitcher, right? You can't miss when that opportunity presents itself.
No, absolutely. Specific play, you're reading the flat defender. If he hangs a little bit, and there's a couple times where Caleb, I thought, made the wrong decision there. I wish we could show tape, just like the All-22, and just like explain it,
right?
Because it's a lot easier that way. Obviously, we can't run radio here, but where the flat defender, if he hangs and you got a guy, Ben Johnson loves this concept where you run a flat route and you run like a 15-yard out, right? And there's one flat defender there to guard him. If the flat defender hangs, you bang the 15-yard out. If he takes away the 15-yard out, then you bang the flat. And Caleb was just not decisive on either one of those when they did that. And early in the game, you know, he led the NFL in checkdowns this week, mm-hmm. which was, I guess, good. Not, I mean,
because he completed passes.
He completed passes. Obviously, 10 for 10 coming out the gate, but there was obviously some things there that he missed down the field. And those are concerning because it's like, why are you hesitating here? You just got to let it rip. And as players and receivers, they start to get a little bit, they lose a little confidence. They're maybe not running the routes the same way. I'm not even going to get this ball anyways. Lose a little confidence if this keeps happening.
Well, I think also, too, we saw this during the game. There were times where, especially with Rome Odunze, Rome, I think, is a really good route runner. That probably should be said more by us because I feel like it is one of his strengths. And in doing so, there are times where he has to, I think, pause a little bit more than he normally would because he's hit his spot so effectively. And then he's got to wait for the ball. And I feel like we saw that a bit, too, in the game on Monday night.
Yeah, there's definitely times where the ball's late getting there. And obviously, there's the accuracy issues. I mean, the off-target throws, 29% last week is, you know, the tops in the league. You got to be better than that, especially when you start 10 for 10. You end up leading the NFL in off-target throws at 29% of your throws. Something you got to improve on. And as far as Rome goes, I think that Rome, yes, there was a couple plays that we missed him there, but he had a chance to make the play on the sidelines, if you guys remember that. If you're a top 10 draft pick, you know, I don't expect Clay Harbor to make that play. I expect Rome Odunze to make that play. That guy, you're a top 10 draft pick in that top 10 money. You come down with that ball. That was a good play by Caleb. So not all of it was on Caleb. I thought the protection wasn't good. The one thing people aren't giving Caleb credit for is the escapability that he had on some of these plays. A lot of these plays, this Bears offensive line that we're thinking we got a good offensive line, if you're a normal quarterback, there would have been probably about 6 sacks, yes, on Monday. Caleb escaped some really bad interior offensive line play. Jonah Jackson, we gave this guy an extension before we saw him play. Drew Dahlman, the number one center in free agency. Those two guys, when I turned on the All-22, I said, is this Coleman Shelton? I said, is this Ryan Bates?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Ryan Bates.
It's one game. And I think they will get better. They're learning how to play next to each other. But that first game, what I saw, I said, Coleman Shelton snuck a Bears jersey, and he's playing as Drew Dahlman. I said, Ryan Bates somehow got back in the league, and he's white now, and he's playing like he's, you know. Well, Jonah Jackson isn't white. I'm sorry.
I get what you're saying.
It just didn't look good.
How much of this, though, is predicated on the fact that they really didn't establish a running game? And how concerning is that? Even though we heard after the game Ben Johnson say, that's on me, I'll do better with runs.
They were part of the reason they didn't establish a run game. I'm looking at Dahlman and Jackson for that too. I mean, I thought Darnell Wright played a solid game. I thought Braxton Jones, I mean, you're not expecting him to be some stone cold killer. He held his own. You know, Joe Tooney, ups and downs, but majority of ups. The two guys that you couldn't really, and I posted something on X, you know, a little, basically showing some of these plays, these guys are getting beat on runs and passes. To establish a run game, you got to be able to run the football between these offensive linemen, and they're doing a lot of wide zone stuff. I thought there'd be more gap scheme in here. I think next week you'll see a little more gap scheme and maybe get Menungai in there for the gap scheme. But it was all Swift. It was all wide zone because that's what Swift does. I think in the second half, Swift came out and he had a good drive where he's lowering his pads. He was falling forward. He was doing everything he wanted to do. You saw it there for a little bit, but I think you got to mix up a little more schemes, and you're giving all your reps to Swift. This Ben Johnson is a guy his entire career. Let's go back to Swift's first go-around. It was Swift and Jamal Williams, excuse me, that had the rushes. Two different styles the defense had to prepare for. If the wide zone isn't working, guess what the gap scheme is? You go back to, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. The wide zone isn't working, guess what the gap scheme is? You got two guys. Why not give Menungai a try if he's your seventh-round pick? You trust so much. If you don't trust him, why don't you bring somebody else in? So those are the questions that I'm asking. You have one guy that runs a specific type of ball. He's good at the zone scheme. Why not give Menungai a shot to run some of this gap scheme stuff? Or if you don't believe in him, you saw Howie Roseman, Ryan Pohl's old boss, maybe made the moves that Ryan Poles should have made. He traded for Za'Darius Smith. He signed Za'Darius Smith. He traded for Tank Bigsby from the Jaguars. Tank Bigsby is a great gap scheme runner. Za'Darius Smith is a guy that had 9 sacks last year.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Roshon Johnson has to be the answer, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hopeful.
If he's healthy.
I'm hopeful he's going to be healthy soon because they could have put him on the short-term IR. They never did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Roshon, they said he didn't practice today, right? Wasn't that what the... If it was a walkthrough, but if they were to practice,
oh, yesterday
was an injury
DNP.
Report.
Yeah.
So that's concerning. If you're missing the Tuesday, Wednesday practice.
Roshon was limited yesterday.
Okay.
That's an upgrade from what we saw last week.
So maybe Roshon's ready. Maybe he needs one more week. But you definitely need a different style in there. If it's not Menungai who's healthy, maybe Britton Brown on the practice squad, you call him up and you give him an opportunity to do some of these gap scheme runs. Because you got to find a way to run the ball, especially in this offense when Ben Johnson was a top five rusher of the football last year. People think of him as this, you know, what they call him, a snot-nosed computer geek, you know, pass the ball all the time. Like, no, this guy is a good runner of the football. He always has been.
That's the voice of Clay Harbor, the NFL veteran of 9 years, former tight end as well, works for the Big Pro Football Show over on CHSN with David Haw. And I think you brought up a good point, too, about what we saw in the offensive line. I was watching it, and I thought to myself, especially when you're seeing both Drew Dahlman and Jonah Jackson way up here on some of those blocks, I'm like, is that me? Am I the one who's not seeing this correctly? And then in the second half, Brian Flores took advantage of that. He wasn't even trying to hide that he was bringing up an extra rusher to shoot that gap. And that's what happened in the second half. You saw it be effective. I understand, at least in this offense, that's QB's job to slide the protection there. But that was definitely something that they took advantage of, that weakness, that hinge in the joint, you know, where they knew they could get a gap and have some pressure. And I think it was effective.
They cause a lot of confusion, too. Like, a couple of these plays, I'm trying to figure out, like, whose man was that? They just turn, like, the Bears are running some type of, like, gap protection, like, almost like a zone scheme where nobody's really accounting for a man, the slide protection, and they just let a runner run through right through the middle. And Caleb did a good job of escaping some of that. Like, those are plays that he got out of and ended up rushing for, you know, 10 to 12 yards, but Brian Flores had an excellent scheme. He started out not blitzing. He blitzed one time in the first quarter. The rest of the game, 14 blitzes. He went from blitzing 25% of the time in the first half to 45% of the time in the second half. He had Ben Johnson. He outcoached Ben Johnson. I'm sorry. That game, he outcoached Ben Johnson. He came out. He did something different. It's like that boxer that's going to hold back a little bit in the first round, and then you see
feeling
him come out. Yeah, feeling out. The next thing you know, he come out in the second, third, fourth round. He's swinging away. That's what Brian Flores was able to do when he caught Ben Johnson off guard, and he wasn't really prepared for Brian Flores to come out in such a passive defense and kind of put it on his front four, and then to pick it up with all the blitzes and really get Caleb flustered.
How much do you think that was, though, Ben Johnson being in his first game as a head coach with way more responsibility than he ever had in the four previous matchups when he's an offensive coordinator and he's scoring 30-plus points every time?
Oh, yeah. I think Ben Johnson... I wholeheartedly believe in Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson is going to be the guy to turn this thing around. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly. You know, I'm hopeful for Caleb. I am very hopeful and confident in Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson didn't have a good game coaching, though.
Wait, you're not as confident in Caleb?
I'm not as confident in Caleb as I am in Ben Johnson.
We're on the same page. We're on
are you kidding me, Mr. Tyson Bajan? There's a clock.
See, we're not going to take it out of context, though. What I said is, I believe there is a ticking countdown on Caleb Williams as a quarterback figuring it out. Because Ben Johnson told me he's got to meet me where I am. He's got to catch up with what we're trying to do as a team. And Caleb Williams clearly isn't there yet. But, grace, patience, all of that going forward. But I said, I think at some point this season, if he doesn't improve in very basic ways, then Ben Johnson's going to say, okay, you clearly can't get the job done. I got to see what else is over here.
We have seen Ben Johnson do it before at a high level. In his 3 years in Detroit, he was top five all 3 years in points per game. He was top four all years in yards per game. We've seen this guy do it at a high level. We know he can. Now he's got some different equipment. It's like Picasso, great painter. Guy couldn't draw. You know, can we give Picasso a paintbrush, or are we going to give him some crayons? You know, he needs a specific type of player to be successful, because we have seen him be successful before. And I know you guys have talked about this ad nauseum. Ben Johnson did some things he shouldn't have done. He should have kicked that field goal on 4th-and-3. I'm sorry, you're not playing with the Detroit Lions last year. You're playing with a quarterback first year in your system. You're playing in some bad turf. You're playing in a windy Chicago. We'd have AI coaches if none of this mattered. Sometimes the analytics aren't the analytics. Just kick the football and get the points.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.